Praise the Lord, brethren. Brethren, you are welcome to our meeting. It's our meeting, a meeting of all of us. That's why I say you are welcome to our meeting, 2015. We thank God for journey mercies that brought all of us here. And I know that you have an expectation. I have an expectation. And I know that you have an expectation. There are things you expect to happen in this meeting. Praise the Lord. Now I want to ask us a question. Has God done anything for you? Has God done anything for you? If so, praise the Lord. Now, how many of us have been in a tight corner, in difficulty, and you told God, God, if only you can save me from this problem, I will do everything in this world for you. How many of us? How many of us? Okay, good. Then, how many of us have fulfilled that promise after God has done it? How many of us have kept those vows after God has done that? Very few. Praise the Lord. But you see, the good thing is that God does something for us. Not because we have promised we are going to do something. But God does that thing for you because He loves you. Because He loves us. When we are in difficult situation, tight situation, God comes to our rescue. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now we've heard the story of Jacob, haven't we? Jacob. We've heard the story of Jacob severally. And we know that Jacob was a man that passed through so many things. Jacob, the son of Isaac, the second son of Isaac, because his elder brother was Esau. Isn't it? His twin brother. Praise the Lord. Now, Jacob, we know, means supplanter. He's one that cheats. So he cheated his brother and collected the birthright. But he did it and went away happily. But the brother said something. He said he was going to kill him when it was time. Praise the Lord. And so when it was time, the day of reckoning came. Jacob began to cry to God for help. He tried everything he could do. None of them worked. He tried gifts. It didn't work. The report he got was that his brother was coming to meet him with 400 men. Jacob melted and cried unto God. And God said, God handled the matter. By the time his brother met him, he turned from and kissed him, embraced him, and made peace with him, and they spared his life. Praise the Lord. But God did not tell Jacob anything. He didn't say, you didn't keep this or you didn't keep that. Praise the Lord. But there came a time after Jacob had overcome, God said something. And it's that thing that God said to Jacob that I want us to look at this evening. I think that that which God said to Jacob might relate to our situation. So I want us to look at it together. Praise the Lord. So please, can you turn with me to Genesis 35? Genesis 35 from verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God, that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel. And I will make thee an altar unto, I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak, which was as Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him, and he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak. And the name of it was called Alon Buchat. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came to Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, brethren. Now, when we look at this passage we've read, there are certain things that I want us to look at. First of all, God asked Jacob. He said, Jacob, he said, arise and go to Bethel and dwell there and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of thy brother. This was a command. It was not a suggestion. God gave a command. He said, arise and go. Now, there were options. What do you think could have happened if Jacob did not obey this instruction? He would have lost the blessings that he got. But thank God he obeyed and he left and went. Now, let's look at the word Jacob. Who is Jacob? And what is the meaning of Jacob? Jacob means a supplanter. It means a cheat. It means someone who circumvents. That's Jacob's name. That's his nature. And he displayed it in all that he did. Yet, God did not throw him away. We look at the next one. He said, Bethel is the next word I want us to look at. Bethel means the house of God. And so here we see God saying to Jacob, go to the house of God. He said, dwell there and make there an altar. That's make an offering. An altar is an offering. He said, go to Bethel, dwell there, and make an offering unto me. That was the instruction. It was a clear one. And Jacob, knowing who God is, now said to his family, his household, said, verse 2, then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, he said, put away strange gods. Strange gods. That was the first thing he said they should put away. Anything strange is anything that is alien, anything that is foreign, anything that is not original within you is strange. And Jacob said to his family, put away strange gods. That was the first thing he said unto them. Then number two, he said, one, he said, put away strange gods that are among you. So he was confident. Here is a man that God had done something spectacular for. Yet, he had so many strange things still within him. God didn't consider those things. He just said, he sort of overlooked those things. But he gave a command, go to the house of God, stay there, and make an offering unto me. But God knew that though he had given him that instruction, that in the house of God, certain things are required. There is an order in the house of God. When you come to God, you have to come in a certain manner. So he gave that instruction. And as soon as he gave that instruction, Jacob started giving instructions to his household. He said, first, put away all the strange gods that are among you. He was saying it with certainty because he knew that within them, there were strange gods. Some of them were harboring strange gods. Idols. So he asked them to do that. Let's look at the next thing he asked them to put away. Two, he asked them to be clean. Because they were going before God. And they were going to make an offering before God. They needed to put away false gods. Two, they needed to be clean. And the third one, they needed to change their garments. Garments represent a covering. We are all putting on garments here. We are putting on clothes. Those clothes are covering. Hallelujah. So, God asked them, Jacob asked them to change their garments. In other words, what they were putting on were not clean garments. The covering was not a good one. How could it be a clean garment when they had strange gods within them? How could it be clean garments when they were impure? They were not pure. Obviously, the crowd was not clean. Praise the Lord. Verse 3 says, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. 4, and they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods, which means they had them. Jacob was not being presumptuous. He knew. And those people handed over strange gods unto him, which were in their hand, and all their earrings. Now, in the Old Testament, people used to wear earrings, and those earrings represented charms. But earrings now, as it is, as we are talking about, represents what you hear. It tells us what you hear, what spirits you listen to, what messages you listen to, the things you hear, are they of God, what music you hear. Those are the things that pollute the man. And God is saying, they handed over those earrings. He said, they handed over the strange gods. We'll look at these strange gods. We'll look at the earrings. We'll look at all these things one by one so that we get a full grasp of what we are seeing. And Jacob hid them under the oak. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after them. Now, let's take these things one by one. I said, all strange gods. Let's look at these strange gods. Now, this story is about Jacob. But please, where you see Jacob, put your name. God is saying to me, Julius. So put your own name in the place of Jacob. Put your name, put your name in the place of Jacob. You are now the supplanter. I am the supplanter. And God is saying to me, come to the camp meeting. Come here, make an offering to me. But God is saying that for us to make a good offering unto him, we must put away those excess luggages. Praise the Lord. We must put away the strange gods, the idols that are in our hearts. Those idols in our hearts, those strange gods are in our hearts. In the days of Jacob, they were physical. Today, they are in our hearts. And God is saying, put them away. If you must come into my presence, if you must benefit from this meeting, if I must bless you, if I must hear you, if I will answer you, if I will pour down my blessings upon you, then you must be prepared to receive me. God says, I'm a jealous God. And he doesn't share his glory with anyone. So we cannot harbor idols in our hearts and come before the Lord. That we must put away. Praise the Lord. So let's look at these strange gods. What are they? Let's look at Joshua 24:14-16. Joshua 24:14-16. Joshua 24:14-16. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye shall serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Praise the Lord. I think that was a very wise answer. And I believe that all of us here will bring such an answer before the Lord. Because we have come to seek him. Because we have come to make sacrifice unto God. Remember, Paul said they made an offering, but they first offered themselves. God is not interested in the money you give him. God is interested in our souls. God is interested in your soul. He's interested in my soul. That's what God is interested. And so we have to offer ourselves unto God. Praise the Lord. And God is saying that we must drop all other gods. Exodus 20 talks about God. He says, you shall not make any graven image He said, he is the only God that must be worshipped and served. And so if there's any other thing taking the place of God in our hearts, even as we come before him now, within this period, please, God is saying, drop it aside. Drop it aside. Don't come with anything. Come with an open heart. Come knowing that you are coming before God. Hallelujah. You see, everybody has his own strange God. Everybody has his own images. They are all in our hearts. What is a strange God to Mr. A may not be the same to Brother B. They differ. Everybody has his own. But God is saying, in all, whatever it is that you have, drop that. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Isaiah 44, 9 to 20. Isaiah 44, 9 to 20. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit, and they are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed. Who had formed a god or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen they are of men. Let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up. Yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. The smith with the tongues both worketh in the coals, and fashioneth it with hammers, and worketh it with the strength of his arms. Yea, he is hungry, and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water, and is faint. The carpenter stretcheth out his roll. He marketh it out with a line. He fitted it with planes, and he marketh it out with a compass, and maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He heweth him down cedars, and maketh cypress, and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planted an ash, and the rain doth nourish. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it, and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god, and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image. He falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in the fire. With part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth, and he satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself, and said, aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof he maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it, and worshipeth it, and prayeth unto it, and said, deliver me, for thou art my God. They have not known nor understood, for he had shut their eyes, that they cannot see, and their hearts, that they cannot understand. And none considerate in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire, yea, also have I baked bread upon the coals thereof. I have roasted flesh and eaten it, and shall make the residue thereof an abomination. Shall I fall down to the stalk of a tree? He feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart had turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? Now, God is talking of the physical idols. But remember, I'm saying that the idols we are talking about are the idols in our hearts. which to me is even more dangerous than these physical ones you are seeing. These ones, you can see them. But the ones in our hearts, we cannot see them because I don't know what is in your heart and you don't know what is in my heart. But whatever it is, God is saying, drop it if you want to come into His presence. When Brother Urias opened this meeting, he said, you did not come here by your own will. It was God that prompted you to come. And it was God that brought you here. Therefore, God has something in store for you. You came here not to make friends. You did not come, we have not come here to socialize. We came here with a purpose. That purpose is to meet with God and to make an offering unto God. But we must satisfy the conditions of making an offering, a meaningful and acceptable offering unto God. And these are the conditions that God is reading out that we must do. That we must purge ourselves. Remove those idols in our hearts. Because those idols will kill you. If you don't send them away, they will kill you. Because they will prevent God from coming. And you will continue, they will continue to drain you. And at the end of the day, they will ruin you. But God is saying, drop them. So that you can attend to me. And I will be able to attend to you. Praise the Lord. Now let's look at one final scripture on strange gods. Then we'll move ahead. Ezekiel 14. Let's look at Ezekiel 14. Ezekiel 14, verse 1 to 8. He said, then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me, and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts, and put up the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? See what God is saying. You have set up your idols in your heart. And then you come before the Lord that you want to hear of God. And God is asking, should I listen to such a person? And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, son of man. Okay, sorry. Verse 4. Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus said the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that sitteth upon his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I the Lord will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. Praise the Lord. Say, God will answer you according to the multitude of the idols that you have in your heart. And I don't think that's good enough for us. That will not bring deliverance to you. Five, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. In other words, these idols that you have that we have in our hearts, somebody who is estranged, when a wife is estranged from a husband, it means they are not together. They have parted ways. They are not staying together. And God is saying that the idols that we have in our house has estranged us from Him. And the only way forward is to drop those idols. Choose you this day whom you shall serve. It's a choice. But God, in His mercy, is saying, drop those idols and choose me, God, that I may bless you and do you good. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus said the Lord God. Thank you. Repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separated himself from me, and set up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man, and will make him a sign and a proverb, and will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Brethren, it is that serious. It is that serious. Because what we have come here, like I say, we have not come to socialize. But we have come to meet with the living God, who has appointed that you should come here, and who has brought you safely to this meeting. Therefore, let us drop every idol in our hearts. Let us drop every strange god that we have come with, and receive, worship, and honor the living God. Now, number two, they talked about dropping earrings. And I said, earrings, in the Old Testament, people put charms. Those earrings people wore were charms. But today, the earrings that the scripture is talking about is not those physical earrings that we are wearing. It's talking about the things that we hear. The ear is a channel of communication. You hear with the ears. So, if you know, it means drop those messages. Drop those things you hear that do not edify. Drop those things that you hear that do not please God. Drop those things that you hear that bring you down spiritually. Drop those messages. He said the people, they removed their earrings and gave to Jacob to bury. And God is saying again, which means that within his house, we are listening to those things that do not glorify God. Those things that do not edify God. And the things that do not edify nor glorify God, what do? They pollute you. Hallelujah. They pollute the people of God. They defile the people of God. And God is saying today, drop them. If you must come before me, drop them. And he says, be clean. The third one, he says, be clean. What does it mean to be clean? Is it to have a bath? Or to put on clean clothes? That may be part of it, but just for the external. When God says to be clean, it means your inward man. Praise the Lord. It means purification of self. Purge yourself of every sin. So if you confess your sins, God will have mercy. The blood of Jesus is available. But God is saying, as you come before me, as we come before him, let us do what? Let us purify ourselves. Let us cleanse ourselves of all unrighteousness, of every sin. Let us purge ourselves of every spot, of every wrinkle, and of every blemish. That we might come to God clean. So that we can offer an acceptable sacrifice unto God. Lastly, he says you must change your garments. You must change your garments. And I said that to change means to alter. It means change for better. Show newness and go forward. Change. So God says, change the garments. And I said, what are the garments? I said, garment is a covering. You cover your body, we've put on clothes to cover our bodies. If you remove your clothes now, you'll be naked. You'll be said to be naked, isn't it? And God is saying, that covering, you should change it. The implication is that you are putting on a dirty garment. If you recall in Ezekiel, the devil came and accused the high priest. He accused him. And God said, and that was because the high priest was putting on what? A dirty garment. And God gave instructions that they should remove that dirty garment from him and put on a clean one. So if you put on a dirty garment, what it means is that you are attracting God. I mean, you are attracting the devil. God is clean. God is pure. His eyes do not behold iniquity. And so when you put on a dirty garment, you are saying you are not serving God, you are not representing God. So God is saying, put off the dirty garment and be clean. Drop the strange gods that you have. Drop those idols in your heart so that you make yourself clean to be able to make an offering unto God. Praise the Lord. I'm saying that you are the Jacob. You and I are Jacob. It's not the Jacob we saw here. God is not talking to that Jacob. Jacob, that Jacob is dead. His tomb is there. But God is talking to you and I, whom he has ordered to come to this camp to make themselves clean, ready for him to minister to them. That's what God is calling us to this meeting. So we don't, no matter whatever you have in mind, brethren, it is necessary that we do that which is right. God is saying, come in the appropriate manner. Come prepared. Don't just come anyhow. Because these conditions show that we are mixed. It shows that there's a mixed multitude. Some are not ready. So let's make ourselves ready so that God will be able to minister to us. It starts with obedience. It starts with obedience to the word of God. If Jacob did not, I asked us a question, what do you think would have happened if Jacob did not do what God asked him to do? If Jacob did not obey, what would have happened? That offering wouldn't have been made. But God has touched us and has moved us from our houses to this camp. You have forsaken the comfort of your home and you have come here. You have forsaken your positions and you have come, even though you are nothing before God. But you've left all that comfort to come here. For what? To worship God. And God is saying, fulfill these conditions so that I may bless you and do you good. Praise the Lord. And finally, remember that in all these, you are still Jacob. After removing the idols, removing the strange gods, earrings, cleaned yourself, there is still something. Your nature is still there. Your name is still Jacob. You are still the supplanter. Your nature, God wants to change. And God wants to change it when your obedience is complete. God wants to change it. And God is saying that when we have done all that, He will now change our name to Israel. That was the last thing He did for Jacob. After he had done all this, God said, your name is Jacob. Your nature is that of supplanter, a cheat, a circumventer. That is our nature. But when we have obeyed and done what God has asked us to do, God will now change our name to Israel. And Israel means God prevails. When God prevails in your life, what happens? You no longer be talking of uncleanness. If God prevails in your life, He rules in your life. If God prevails in your life, you are now a prince with God. If God prevails in your life, you begin to do the things of God. If God prevails in your life, you begin to hear from Him. If God prevails in your life, you will love to please the Lord. You will not want to do your own will again. It is the will of God that you want to do. But to get to that point, we must start with the simple obedience of putting away the things that God has asked us to put away. Brethren, even as we prayed this evening, if you were listening to the prayers, if you listen to the prayers, it went this way too. We must put up the strange things within us. Brethren, obedience is better than sacrifice. And the sin of disobedience before God is what? Rebellion. Who am I to rebel against God? It's like the sin of witchcraft. Who am I that God should declare me a witch? Let's not rebel against God, brethren. Let us heed the voice of God and do that which God has asked us to do so that God will bless us. I know that God has a lot in store for us in this meeting. And I believe, God, that the meeting this camp meeting this year holds so much. It's not going to be like the other ones. If only you open up, if only we'll be obedient to the word of God, there is so much for us. God's bar is inexhaustible. May the Lord bless you.